Hello, everybody. This is Luke Stamey, your humble host of the Space Travel Podcast. I hope everybody is doing awesome this evening. As everybody knows, I'll be by myself this week. Amanda has decided to take a trip to her childhood home, so my beautiful wife will not be joining me for today's podcast. She'll be back in a week, and we'll continue on with our back-and-forth conversations. SpaceX's SN7.1 has been tested to destruction. ULA's NROL 44 is 70% favorable weather for launch. And it seems the space station has just had to make a maneuver to avoid some space junk. So let's get into this and see what we got going on in the awesome space industry these days. So talking about 7.1, at NASA space flight, they've always got great images on there, great things. As far as angle goes, I mean, you know, it's really fantastic. So head on there and check them out at NASA space flight, excuse me. Does some awesome things. I mean, the best Starship coverage, for real, as far as high def, good looking images go. So check them out. And the destruction of 7.1, like, I really thought about it. Whenever the last one went, it was more of a pop than like an actual destruction. And I was thinking that this one would probably withstand a little bit more than it did. And I don't know the bar reading yet. It could have withstood a whole lot. So when they release that, that'll clear a lot of things up. But it was definitely very fantastic. The coverage was good. There were a bunch of people there. And got to see a bunch of different angles. And then we got to see the wreckage afterwards, which is always very informative as to where the failure points of the specific vessel would be. And it was just really cool. So hopefully they learn from this. They go in there, check it out. I did not see the robot, or Zeus, on site during that. If you guys saw him on there or got a shot, hit me up on Twitter at Space Travel Pod, and I'd love to see it. The ULA's NROL 44 launch, this is carrying a secret payload for the National Reconnaissance Office. It was supposed to launch a good while back and has been teasing us ever since. Ettore Bruno, who is an awesome guy, by the way. He is very interactive as far as the details of all his rockets and everything go on Twitter, and it's very cool. And he's pretty funny, if I do say so myself. But it should be launching here before long. It's very early in the morning. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, as the launch window opens. But if you're up that early, check it out. It's always great to watch those Delta IV heavies fly. That's one of my favorite vehicles ever. I completely understand that it is not a reusable vehicle. It's fully expendable rocket, but I do respect the history behind the Delta series rocket and how far it has taken us into the future, or the present, of spaceflight. So that's why I admire the Delta IV Heavy so much, is it's a beast. It really is. I love the big flash of, you know, stuff igniting right at the beginning of the launch. It satisfies my inner nerd, if I do say so myself. So I got a pin on one of my bags that's got a Delta IV Heavy and a big ULA patch for the Perseverance mission that my wife got me. It's a pretty cool bag. I'll post a picture of it on Twitter not too long from now. It's turning out to be pretty nice. That avoidance maneuver that the International Space Station had to do today, I think that Jim Bridenstine tweeted and said that it was only the third maneuver they've had to make this year, but they've been trying to get $15 million from Congress to go towards, start with a P, I can't remember it right off the top of my head. But in order to do something about this space junk, and I think that's a very important point, and I know I have absolutely no influence in Congress except for my rights as an American, but I think that $15 million would be well spent considering the expansive future of spaceflight and humans in space, and just how many opportunities there are out there for not only financial gain, but gain as a species, gain as, you know, set our children up, you know, for success and become multiplanetary and live amongst the stars. I think that would be very cool, and I want that for my kids, and whatever I can do, even if it's just this little podcast, I'm going to try to do it, because I think that's pretty awesome. Swapping back to Tory Bruno for just a second, my ADHD brain does that a lot, but he did say that they have sold approximately 33 Vulcans already. The Vulcan, in case you did not know, is ULA's newest launch vehicle. It's going to be rather impressive. They've done a lot of upgrades to this rocket. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this rocket as well. I'm not going to get into that. I try to stay rather unbiased when it comes to these kind of issues, but it is going to be a beautiful, very impressive rocket. It's going to be very large and have different configurations, including a cargo version, and I'm super excited to watch it launch. I do not believe that it's going to do a big flame ball like my Delta IV Heavy, but hey, you never know. Tory Bruno, he might be working something crazy awesome up. We'll see. But I'm really looking forward to that and looking forward to seeing that. I think I've gotten down what I would like to send to his facility to have him sign. So I'm going to get that printed up here before too long and get it sent off. That was very cool. My wife, like, that just, that made my day when she told me that. That was awesome. There's been a few interactions with Tory Bruno online lately that have just been so cool. It's very, you know, when someone like that, like, you know, likes something of yours or whatever, it just makes you feel good. I mean, as a human, I think that's pretty cool. I did also read something, switching topics real quick, about an asteroid named 2020 SW that will swing by the Earth at a distance of 28,000 kilometers on September 4th. It's about 4.5 to 10 meters in diameter, and could have some sighting opportunities for you, people who use telescopes out there and are really good at that. I seem to suck at it pretty bad. I'm getting a little better, though. And maybe if I had a better telescope, it would probably be better. But I do my fair share. All right. Now moving on to one of the biggest topics in the space industry these days are Starship updates. I know we talked about the 7.1 burst earlier. That was a planned destruction that, you know, they intentionally did that because they're doing that rapid iteration type progression. And that's just how that works. Next one they put out there will probably increase the, you know, capabilities of it tremendously. And I think that's awesome. And this is all in the nature of full reusability, you know, so that's very honorable in and of itself. The High Bay, the one that is just so huge, it's crazy, is getting its roof now. And I think that's awesome. That crane they have there, I'm a safety man in the heavy industries, and I appreciate all the equipment they've got out there, you know, not just the rocket pieces, but, you know, all the other stuff as well. I saw the flip maneuver earlier where they take the fin that's laying, you know, horizontal flat, and they flip it up, and they have this chain fall hook to one side, and there's a guy in a scissor lift, and he's working that chain fall and going up in that scissor lift, and they're kind of just laying it over. I thought that was pretty ingenious and cool to watch. Just a little, I guess I should, my work side of me that likes that kind of stuff. SN1 Super Heavy construction is underway. That is not the official name of this booster, I don't think, but that's what I heard earlier. So look forward to a super heavy prototype that will have two engines, and it will be so, I mean, we think the Starship's going to be fun. Let's wait until they start hopping these super heavies. It's going to be very cool. And, you know, in my household, we watch stuff like that, like football games. Like, we're on our feet, you know, like, looks yelling at the TV. It's a lot of fun. My kids are even into it. And, you know, that makes me very happy. SN8 moved out of the mid bay. You know, it got its flap installation after the cool flip. The aeroprotective surfaces that are on the side of the Starship, the little pieces that attach to the side of the Starship, and then the fin is attached to that. And what this does is, or what one thing this does is, it breaks up the air current as it goes over. It makes it a little bit more streamlined. But, you know, knowing Elon Musk and the crew at SpaceX, it's probably got more of a purpose than that. If you know it, hit me up on Twitter. And, you know, as always, NASA space flight's got some of the best images of this stuff. The camera quality or the picture quality is just so good. I appreciate you guys, so you rock. The welds on everything, I've noticed that most of the new stuff that is coming out of the mid bay and all that, not only am I noticing some newer looking hardware on there, but I'm also noticing the welds. You know, they're much cleaner, there's a lot less wrinkle in the steel after the finished product is done, and I think it looks really good. I think my brother would actually agree with me, Andy. You know what I'm saying? If you look at it, it just looks like, I don't know, I think it's probably from the heat. I'm not sure, but you'll see what I mean. Anyway, they have these portholes on the side I noticed today. Like these just holes on the side. I guess that's just for tank access on the interior to check the, you know, that nothing goes wrong on the inside. And I'd be very interested to see the seal that they use on that piece right there, you know, to seal it up during flight and whatnot. That would be very cool to see. I'm a paper pencil kind of person. I'm sorry about the wrinkling paper noises. The transporters have been moved to the launch pad. I believe this is probably to take the SN7.1 back to the processing facility and have a look at it. The operator of the transporter looks so comfortable. He was sitting right in the middle of it in the camera shot, and he's in a lawn chair, and he's just got this thing sitting in his lap, and he's just driving along. You know, I thought that was funny when I saw it earlier. The fin construction itself, I mean, if we look back at the first ever complete mock-up Starship during that presentation at the fins, and you look at them now, I'm telling you, you can tell that they've been on it because those welds and all the seams look very good. Inside of each one of the fin sections, you can actually see what looks to be the actuating arm in there, attachment. And if you look on the side of the Starship, you can also see that actuating attachment there. So we know the fins will be able to move that way. I'm curious as to whether the Starship is going to fly in with the wings extended or with the wings retracted, you know, from the ground. We'll see. I'm not sure. I guess either way, they probably be like the grid fins. They'd probably be retracted. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Yeah, I already talked about the pretty neat flip and everything. And the one section for the new booster, it was labeled, quote, common barrel ASSY, A-S-S-Y, booster, end quote. And I don't know what ASSY means, but we'll see here in the future. The fins alone for the Starship are two floors of the midbay in which the Starship is held. I think that's crazy. That just shows the absolute size of these things, and it's so cool to see the human standing around it, because it just makes me think about the Super Heavy, and I'm like, holy crap, this is gonna be a monster. And I know you guys out there think that too, and I'm super excited to see this thing fly. I think there's a high chance of succeeding, and I think if they succeed in creating the Starship, I think it will change the market in a very impactful way. And I think impactful in more than one ways. I think it will reduce cost per kilo to get to orbit. And I also think, as far as like citizens go, I think it will lower costs for tickets. I think it will take some of the other main aerospace companies and kind of make them rethink the way that they're doing their programs. I'm not dogging on their programs as they are right now. I mean, because we're still progressing as a human race and all that. But, yeah, I think it'll push them in the reusable direction. I know the Vulcan's going to be partially reusable, whether that be a small part or a big part. You know, it's still an honorable thing to do, in my opinion. But I'm looking forward to this fully sustainable, you know, propellant is the only thing you can't reuse kind of flight. I think that's awesome. I think seeing all these Tesla cars and the Plaid or Plaid that Model S that just came out, I think it's all very cool, very exciting. Battery Day, you know, is supposed to be super cool. The Neuralink conference took me just a second to follow. And then once I got on page with it, I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here. You know, this could be big. You know, my I don't know if she'd mind me saying this, but my wife has essential tremors. It makes her hand shake a little bit, but it's kind of like something gets worse over time. And I'm wondering if a Neuralink type device would be something that would help her be able to fix even what she has. I think that would be interesting to know. Maybe, I mean, I already tweeted Elon once, but maybe I'll try it again. Who knows? And last but not least, Blue Origin is launching their New Shepard rocket. I feel like it has been forever since they launched a rocket. That New Shepard's actually really cool to watch fly. It's very well designed, does what it's supposed to do, and it would be come on now. I would totally get on that thing. That would be the coolest ride ever. I'm not going to be the first one on it, but I would totally get it. If it was affordable, like I see it becoming in the future, then yeah, I totally get on it. Because I just feel like weightlessness, but not just weightlessness, but the overview effect, that moment of perfect clarity when you turn around and you look back at the Earth and its entirety floating there in the vastness of space, and you see no borders, you see no belief systems, you see no nothing, you just see everything is this one being, you know, and it's supposed to be awesome. I think that would be something very cool to experience for myself. Well, as everybody knows, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can head on over to the Patreon page and check us out. They've got a few tiers there, you know, to choose from and whatnot. So if you want to support us, hit us up that way. The other way to support is there's a support button right on our Anchor page, anchor.fm/spacetravel, and you can support there. Also, liking and sharing videos on Twitter and stuff like that, that's where I'm most active. That stuff helps a lot too. So I appreciate every one of you out there who's, you know, done that for me. Very well appreciated, and I thank you for that. Well, I think that's all I have for this evening. If anything comes up, let me know. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.